listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you again on another Saturday afternoon to our program called Raising the Standard. And we're honored to be here with you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And so we greet you and welcome you in the love of the Lord and the charity of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So we're honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And we spend a lot of time with the Jewish things and the Hebrewism and all the things that we've been robbed of in the scriptures because a lot of people's turned away from the Jewish thought. But we want that because that's how we're going to grow and mature to understand what God told His people from the very beginning. So we're going to make a couple of announcements here up front, and then we're going to do a little teaching with you. And so we are honored to be here with you, as we said. If you'd like to get a copy, I fail to mention this sometimes every week, but if you want to get a copy of what we're going to talk about today and you want to listen to it again, we offer CDs or a tape, whatever you want, and all we ask for is a love offering. You make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, mailed to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip there is 34995, and we'll get it out to you. So we're honored to be here with you. So enjoy the program, Holly. We're so happy to be here with you. We've been doing this now for 17 plus years, and it's a pleasure to do this and to give you some information that maybe a lot of people don't know about. But I find out, talking to people, that more and more people are getting hungry for the Jewish roots, aren't they, honey? It's really God's appointed times and all, but He gave it to the Jewish people. More and more people are getting interested in this because there's some things we've been robbed of because we haven't looked into the deep things of God. And Jesus even told His disciples way back, we know that, it's in the gospel, that you, those 12 men, have been given the privilege to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the hidden things that are there. So we have His holy word before us. We're going to teach out of the King James Version Bible, of course, here. But we have His holy word, and so we can look into these things and find out so many more things that God wants us to know. More and more things are being uncovered all the time that God's revealing through His holy word. So we base everything on the holy word, don't we, Pastor Don?
Amen.
Nothing else. So we're honored to be with you here again today. And like we mentioned, if you can't stay in tune for the whole program, those tapes or CDs are available to you. And whatever the Lord would ask you to give, just give a love offering, no matter what it is. And we'll honor that with you. It'll help us stay on the radio program as well. We never beg for money on this program. We just trust the Lord. We've been on now for 17 plus years, we mentioned, and we've never owed WCNO any money. We've always been able to pay that. And we thank the Lord for that because of the people that are willing to give and do the things that need to be done today in the body of Christ. So if you enjoy this program, if you enjoy it, you've been listening for weeks, maybe the Lord will speak to you today while we're teaching, just to send in a love offering, for asking for nothing, just to say, well, I'm going to send a love offering to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries in the program called Raising the Standard, because I'm learning some things and God's going to raise the standard in my life as well. See, God's wanting to take us to new realms, new dimensions in the realm of the Spirit. And we talked last week about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We got kind of excited on this program, didn't we, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
And here we are, got people today say it's not for today, it's just a one-time event.
But the Bible makes it clear that God, when he gives something, he never takes it away. So we thank you for that. And the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how do we get around that? If he did that yesterday, why won't he do it today? Well, he will. So anyway, we're honored to be here with you.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God for WCNO Radio. They're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I got this 12 stuck in my mind. But anyway, we're honored to be here and be part of their ministry as well.
Amen.
And all of you that listen are part of it as well, as you support them and do the things to keep them on the radio. So glory be to God. We love you all, and that's why we're here. We truly want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ to a new level. We've got so many things going on now that's reducing the holiness and the righteousness that God wants that he requires of us in the Word. And it's not a suggestion. God's telling us he wants us to do that. So we want to walk in that place with him. And the more we find out about his holy Word, well, then we'll be quickened by the things that we do in our lives, whether we're doing things correctly or not, to please him or not to please him. Right, Pastor Don?
He gives commandments.
He sure does.
He did it at Pentecost.
That's right.
And he's still...
And statutes and all those
and
things.
And there's also commandments in the New Covenant.
That's right.
And Paul gives us a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And that he says, not what I say, this is what God says. And so also Jesus gave a lot of... So he gave commandments also,
right.
And mainly, like you mentioned, that word charity means love.
Special love between brothers and sisters, that's right.
Love for believers, amen.
That's right.
Well, I just wanted to mention, say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island.
Hello, you lovely people.
Bless
you
guys. And all of you out there who listen to us maybe every week. Some listen to us every week, and some catch us from time to time. If you happen to be in your automobile and you're listening to us for the first time and you would like to hear this again, or you would like to listen to more, you can always listen to us on the internet every Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Just go to WCNO.com, the radio station you're listening to now, on the internet, and go to Saturday, and you can find Pastor Gene Hilton on Saturday at 12 noon, and you can listen to this broadcast and other broadcasts that we have done in the past. And we've been talking about Passover, and we've been talking about counting the Omer for the last few weeks. And we're coming up.
7 weeks, in fact.
We're coming up to, we are in, that's right, we're in the last week right now.
Tomorrow is Pentecost.
So, amen. And so that
the Jewish
is,
calendar too.
That is the end. That's the Pentecost brings us to the 50th day.
Amen.
Which we'll probably talk about today. And so I want to mention before and give you our telephone number, and I want to mention that tomorrow we have a special guest speaker.
Hallelujah. We
and
do.
His wife. Amen. His name is Bob
Koo.
And his wife's name is Patricia.
Patricia.
And they will be with us Sunday.
Tomorrow.
At 10 a.m., right? And they move in the prophetic. She moves in the prophetic and the gifts of the prophetic. And he moves in the healing
Hallelujah.
Ministry and healing and deliverance. And so
Thank
we
you,
are
Jesus.
Blessed to have them. They go, they've been many, many places in the world, bringing the love and the power of Jesus.
And the Holy Ghost.
And the Holy Ghost, amen. To many thousands of people. So we are blessed to have them here at Spirit of Prophecy tomorrow at 10 a.m. So come. I'm going to give the phone number if you'd like to come, if you'd like to be able to find us. We're here in Stuart, Florida. We're right on Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza. And so I'm going to give the phone number. You can call and we'll give you directions if you'd like to come. It's the area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
Amen. We're 007 agents, aren't we?
We are 007 agents.
For the Lord.
For the Lord.
Hallelujah.
285-7007. So we're blessed to be here.
Amen.
Right, Pastor Gene?
Yeah, so we think about this right up front. We're talking about tomorrow being the actual day of Pentecost on the Jewish calendar. It's going to be what? Sivan 6. Well, think about it. The main thing about Pentecost is it's a memorial to remember the giving of The Torah at Mount Sinai. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, to remember that. And we had a similar event. We talked about it last week in Acts chapter 2 with all the nations that were there. The men that lived in those other nations that were Jewish, they had to come back to Jerusalem for that appointed time. And so there were lots of them there. And so they mentioned a lot of them. They were mentioned in Acts 2. They what? Heard the people in Galilee speaking their tongues back from their land, and they were amazed, and some were even baffled by what they heard, didn't they?
Yes, they were amazed.
So God was repeating something that happened about 1,500 years prior to that at Mount Sinai, and so it's a memorial to remember. And so then He did it in Acts chapter 2 for the benefit of everyone, because that I believe that was the beginning of the church age. That's when
That's right.
The New Testament age, Jew and Gentile in the Messiah.
And the beginning of the Jewish age was at Mount Sinai.
That's right.
Wasn't it?
That's right.
Because they had just come out of Egypt. Moses had taken them out of Egypt. It was the day right after they had killed the lamb, and they were set free from bondage. But they still had Egypt in them.
They sure did.
They lived in Egypt for many, many years, and so they learned the ways of the pagans, I would say, or the Gentiles. And so they learned those ways. They had drifted from some of the truth that they knew, Abraham and they had taught, mm-hmm. they had learned. So, as one generation gets weaker in their beliefs or sin gets greater, the next generation, it keeps watering it down, just like these new Bible versions are being watered down.
That's right.
Right? As you go from generation to generation, if you don't have a godly input, and you don't have the Word of God, and you're living with pagans, and you're living in a place called Egypt. Egypt is just another name for sin, because Egypt, the idol worshiping and everything, every other kind of thing you can think of, went on in Egypt.
They had a hard time getting that out, didn't they?
So Moses brought them out of Egypt, but it took a while to get Egypt out of them. And of course,
long while.
When we get born again, it takes a while to get Egypt out of us, which is a picture of the world.
Amen.
And the sin and our flesh.
You got it.
And our desires and what we, our fleshly desires. And so it takes time to be changed, to be transformed. So I'm thinking about, we've been talking about this counting the Omer, and those 7 weeks, those 49 days, which is 7 weeks.
That's right.
Each week represented something that they were working on getting out, getting changed. They say the first week was loving kindness. Okay. So then they come to the eighth day, and they come to the seventh, and that's a day of rest.
Right.
Because there are 7 rest days, and during mm-hmm. those 49 days, there's 7 Sabbaths, right? And so then they come to the eighth day, and then they're starting a new week. They're going to work on getting something else out. Maybe it'll be like having strength and character and fortitude,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And they come to that one, and then there's other things that God is working in us so that we would have a kingdom mind. And so as they came out and they're walking, even when they came to the Red Sea, they would have rather turned back. And wouldn't we probably too if we'd seen that sea there? I'm going to walk into that sea. No, but see, God took them through that. God gave them miracle after miracle. And so even those 49 days, as they struggled till they came to Mount Sinai, and even during that time when they got to the mountain, they sinned and they built that calf.
Golden calf.
Golden calf.
Right. Got major trouble right away, didn't
they? So, but that's when the power, and then Moses went up the mountain on that, and that's when the power of God, and the mountain quaked, and the smoke, and the earthquake, and they heard God. It said they heard God in all those different languages. How many did you say there were?
70 at that time.
70 language. So they
out
heard
in the desert
God.
Area, yeah.
So those were the 49 days up to the 50th day, and I read that the Omer, measure of the Omer, for each day is 50 shekels. Takes us up to the 50th day.
So it's a measure of wheat or barley.
It's a measure of wheat or barley, mm-hmm. but they were counting barley.
Right.
And as we have learned that barley is a strong
grain,
and it can
withstand
it's a picture
a lot
of
more.
Our life. And those who come through the barley harvest and they allow God to change them, they're going to be stronger.
That's what Passover is all about, isn't it? Christ.
That's right. They're going to be stronger.
Amen.
And they'll be stronger in the Lord.
You got it.
And they'll have less temptation to fall back. We all make mistakes and we all fall back from time to time. But they will have they'll have the character and the characteristics of that God wants us to have.
It's a development process, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a development process.
Changing our mind of things.
Just learning to have loving kindness.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and just having that, like you said, having that love, charity, one for each other, one for our brothers and sisters.
That's right.
They had to learn to live together. Mm-hmm. How many people you think there were out there wandering around and during those 49 days till they came to that mountain?
Lots of people came out.
Millions of people. You know, I don't know. It was a mixed multitude even, you know, because some people listened to Moses and they wanted to go with the Israelites.
Egyptians went with them, yeah.
So here they had even some that had even that didn't even perhaps probably weren't Jewish. And so they had a lot of Egypt in them.
Yeah, sure did.
And, you know, they wanted to go back. So they liked the leeks and the onions and the
garlic.
The garlic, even though they had this, even though they worked and they labored hard. But it seemed to look good to them once they were out there in that
wilderness. Saw nothing out there, yeah.
And they had to walk those days.
That's right.
Well, you know, when you have to walk many days in struggle, then, you know, many times God can speak to you in the wilderness of
That's
your
right.
life
mm-hmm.
instead of being on top of the
Preach
mountain.
It, honey. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So God can listen. He, you know, maybe when we don't hear God or we don't know when he's, you know, we're not hearing what he's saying. So people go through the wilderness, it causes them to be strengthened.
That's right.
And so they were being strengthened, and then they got the word of God. And that's actually when, that Pentecost, when God married Israel and called them his wife. He said they're his wife. And so what happened in Pentecost? Jesus, we're married now to
Yeshua.
Yeshua, and he calls us his bride.
His bride. We're going to be a wife one day.
We will be a wife one day, and Pentecost represents that first fruits, those first fruits, amen, and so of the resurrection. Wow, powerful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was interesting that the measure of barley is 50 shekels. It's the value is 50 shekels of silver.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to the 50th day.
Yes, I don't know what wheat, a shekel of wheat would be worth. I don't know.
I don't know. I'll have to look and see.
We'll have to see.
But, we know that that's what barley is. But
Jesus talked a lot about wheat in the Gospels, you know. He mentioned a lot of things about wheat.
But barley is a strong grain, and mm-hmm. it can withstand many things. And, you know, God said that we can withstand the trials and the tribulations of life. Didn't Paul said we're going to go through those things, didn't he?
Yeah.
Paul talked about all the trials and the tribulations of life, but he said we could overcome. We can mm-hmm. overcome, you know, as we seek the Lord and we follow the precepts and we get into our Bible. You know, we can overcome as we put these things in our heart. You know, we have to grow. So, but we can't grow unless we feed upon the manna of God's word. Well, it's interesting, even during the time of when the Israelites were in the wilderness, not just 50 days, but many days, many years, that he had them on a certain kind of a diet of his word. We need to be on a diet of his word. Manna doesn't represent manna, it represents the word of God.
Yeah. Jesus said, I'm the manna that came down. It's not the kind that Moses talked about.
No, but the picture is there, the resemblance is there.
Right.
All they could have is manna, except when they really got rebellious and God gave them what they wanted and they
all
died.
All those quail, yeah.
Right, and so they ate all those quail and filled themselves
sick.
Up.
They were sick of quail.
And many, how many died? I don't remember the count that died. But their food was the manna. So there must have been everything in that manna that they needed. Well, this book that I have before me and you have is everything that we need.
The Holy Bible.
To grow, to be nourished.
Make sure you have a Holy Bible, though, not some translation that's not a Holy Bible.
But, you know, Paul talked about us being changed and being
That's right.
renewed in the spirit of our mind. See, it took them a while to get that renewal because it takes a while to get the old stuff out and the Egypt out, which I said is a picture of sin. Well, you talk about Bibles, you know, even you, when you changed back to, you came back to the King James, it took a while to get those verses that you had memorized in
out
the New
of my
King
mind.
James
That's right.
out of your mind. And even now they could probably pop up and
they sure
you
do
say,
from time to time.
And so you have to, what do we have to do? Renew
our minds.
Renew this.
By the Spirit of God. While you're talking about the temptations, I just thought about what it says in the New Testament. James wrote this in chapter 1. Listen to this in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse, what? Temptations, mm-hmm. knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, what? Patience. But let patience have yet, I'm sorry, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and what? Entire, wanting nothing. So see, that's what the process was when they came out, right? All those days that they traveled, God was working on them, and they had a lot of trials and temptations out there. I'm sure that they struggled. You know, they made the golden calf, and they were griping and complaining and moaning and groaning, and so they got into trouble, didn't they? And as we talked about so many times, you can see that in Scripture. If they would have obeyed God, they could have went into their promised land within 11 days. But they failed. They failed. And so what happened? He sent them out, and they had to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years until the first generation died off. And then he did something fresh with the Joshua. We know after Moses passed away, when they crossed the Jordan River and went into the promised land. And again, that was at a Passover season as well. So we see how God deals, you know, with people. We have to obey his word. We're instructed to do that. One of Donna's favorite verses is Matthew 6:33. Seek first, not last, first. Or when you got nothing else to do. Seek first the kingdom of God, where God is and his presence and all that, what he wants. What? And then all the other things will be added unto you. So that's what we have to, and his righteousness. That would seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And then he said all the other things would be added unto you, because he knows our desires and wants, and he wants to give those to us. And so as we walk with him, he will present and show those things to us as we go along. And so our whole challenge in our life, from the time we came to Christ, is to be transformed, changed into the image of Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, how he walked, his essence, what he said, the holiness that he exhibited, and things that he revealed, and how he ministered to people. God wants us to know those things and put those things in our heart. And we have so much today, you know, the twisting of the word and all. We don't want to hear that. We want just the truth. Just take it for literally what it says. And I'm thinking about the Torah today. You know, so many people today are teaching that we're not under the Torah. We're not under law. That's all been done away with. Well, that's a statement that's not true, because there's responsibilities with all the Torah. You know, we don't, as we talk all the time, we don't do the ceremonial things. But there's spiritual things behind all that, as Paul told us in Romans chapter 7, that it was holy, just, and good for us.
Amen.
And so the Torah has not been abrogated and done away with. And so we got to keep this in mind. But we hear this all the time. So no wonder people aren't growing up, because they don't want to look and see what God said in the beginning. And we talk about this. We don't tell the end of the prophetic word and all in eschatology from the end. From the end. No, we tell the end from what? From the beginning. So we got to go back to the ancient past. So why wouldn't we want to go back and have the teaching instruction of that? Paul said in Romans chapter 7 also that he didn't understand what lust was or covetousness was until he what? He got the law, the Torah was given to him. So we still need those things. But why would we want to throw those things away? This is God's holiness, this entire book before us, to show us how to walk. And that's what the Torah was put in place for, to teach us, to instruct us in holiness and righteousness, to walk with the Lord the way he wants. Even Peter said that in one of his epistles. God said in the Old Testament, the first covenant, he says, "What? Be holy as I am holy." Peter repeated that. So God's wanting us to be holy like him. Now, we're not going to be perfect like him. We know that, because we all sin and miss the mark from time to time. But we're approaching that, aren't we?
We should be seeking
that. We should be seeking that with all of our heart, to be like Yeshua and everything in our lives. And that's what the Bible's all about, to tell us. And so he's given us all the instructions. This is an instruction book I got here before me about how to live a holy life before God.
Amen.
And so God's telling us. He told us in Deuteronomy chapter 4, "Don't you add to my word, and don't you diminish anything from my word." He tells us in Revelation chapter 22, the last book last chapter in Revelation. He tells us there, "Don't you add anything to my word, and don't you remove anything of my word." And there's a penalty on it if we read over what it says, and it's not good. And so we have to obey this word. So I get tired of hearing this all the time, that God's, you know, the Torah's done away with. We don't have to do that anymore. Some people even say you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments anymore because you're not under law. Well, let me tell you. The law, we don't want a legalistic aspect of it, but I'll tell you one thing. The principles behind this is here for all of us to understand and to follow. It's important we understand that. So it has not been done away with. We need this to teach us an instruction of the Lord. Think about it. Paul mentioned what? That the Torah was a schoolmaster to bring us to Yeshua, okay? To teach us how to live a life, okay? And then when Yeshua came, well, then the Torah that we're under with him, the Torah of Yeshua, is even a higher standard. I want you to listen to this. It's a higher standard than they had in the first covenant, because you know what it is? It's a matter of the heart. Not just what you do, but a matter of the heart. Jesus referred to all that when he quoted all the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. The Beatitudes that we ought to be as believers. And so all those were referring to what? A heart change. We must have our heart change, and that's what it takes. Well, the Jewish people, when they came out, as Donna was talking, when they came out of Egypt, they had a hard time changing their heart because they had all that stuff within them, and they didn't want to spend the time and effort with the Lord to be changed. They want to do what they want to do. That's why they decide, well, I'd rather go back and be under all this bondage that we were in with the Pharaohs, and I'll have my garlic and leeks and onions I can eat and all that, and I'll just be happy doing that. No, we want to come out of that. We're not into bondage to that anymore. So the slavery's gone. When Jesus came and you came to him, the slavery's been broken. You're not controlled by anything unless you want it to be controlled. And so whatever we're involved with is controlling us. God tells us in his word, we do not want that to happen in our lives. And so how do we get rid of all that? We turn it over totally to Yeshua, no matter what it is. Is it some kind of a habit that we're wanting to break? Is it smoking or drinking or using foul language, whatever it might be, we turn it over to the Lord, and the Lord is the one that can work it through you, and he's the one that can help you change. And I tell people this all the time. Christianity is not a self-help ministry. It's not. You can help yourself. Only the Lord can help us get through all the struggles that we have in our personal lives. And many of us have huge testimonies of where we came from. We got some people in our church that have huge testimonies of who they used to be. You hear what I said? The used to be's. We want to be in the used to be category. And they've come out of that, and God has set them free, and they're moving on to accomplish what God's wanting them to do. They're not sitting around licking all their wounds and complaining and griping about all the past and all that. They're moving on with the Lord because it's a new day. Because the Bible says what? When you come to Christ, you became what? A new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things, all those things that hindered you and the sins, the old things are what? Are passed away. They're going to be removed, and you're going to what? You're going to start over with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things are passed away, and you become what? New. Brand new again. So it tells us over there in Romans, we read that in Romans chapter 12 about Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God,
amen,
to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, I'm going to say it again, holy and acceptable unto God. And then he tells them to be what? To be transformed by the renewing of their minds, that they might find that good and perfect and acceptable will of God in their lives. That's what we want. And so how do you do that? How do you renew your mind? Donna was talking about this the other day. The renewing of the spirit of your mind. How do we do that? Only with the Lord. We spend time with him. We read the Bible. We put those words in our heart. And we'll begin to start thinking another way. You know, we won't be thinking the old way all the time. We're slowly going to let the old pass away. And God's going to transform us into something new and fresh that he wants us to know and understand. Because we're different. We're not the same. We're not the same man and woman or boy and girl that we were years ago. We've got something new and fresh in our hearts right now. And it's called the hope of glory, which is Christ Jesus. He dwells in us, doesn't he, Pastor Don? He's the one that can do the work. We can't. We just have to cooperate with him. As we said, you know, the things in the Bible are not suggestions. We are told by these things to honor the commandments and the statutes and what's going to happen. Even if we listen to the prophets, it tells us that in Second Chronicles. If we honor the prophets, what's going to happen? We're going to be prosperous. We're going to do the right. We're going to do well. We're going to be blessed by God. Amen. So we listen to the prophetic word, and we're going to grow through all this, and God can use us in a greater dimension than ever before. So I get excited thinking about what God's doing. He's on the move. Don and I are sitting here across this desk from each other in our office here doing this program. God's transformed both of us.
Amen. And he's still working on me.
He's still working on us. Now that's what we tell people that all the time. You're still a work in progress, so don't get discouraged. Just move on. He'll take you little by little. He'll take those ites out of your lives that we talk about all the time. Little by little. He's not going to take them all at one time. He's going to take them little by little. As the scripture says, what? The foxes are what spoils the vine. And so we got to get rid of those things in our lives. Little by little, not all at one time.
Mm.
And we'll just allow God to work with us. We can have those things removed, and you'll be a joy to the Lord. He'll be so joyous to know that you're walking with him on a daily basis with the best ability that you've got, that he's given you to walk in the fullness of it. And we'll slip and fall from time to time, but remember, we're going to get up and go on, just like we read there in James chapter 1. We're going to have diverse temptations come, but glory be to God. He's going to show us how to get through those things, and he's going to build patience and endurance in us, and we're going to know that when the next thing comes, we'll say, wow, God got me through that last one. He'll do it again. He's a God that will repeat. He'll do it again. He will deliver us. He'll bring us out of any of those things that hold us back from being the people of God that he wants us to be and to learn how to love people in a new way. It's incredible. Amen, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
Glory. So I get excited about this. Thank you. Well, we're talking about Pentecost, but this is, you know, Pentecost was actually really the beginning of the church age, Jew and Gentile, in Yeshua the Messiah.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
So it's just a very special event, not only to remember the giving of the Torah. So we can, why would we want to take it away? He gave it to us. He doesn't give it to us and take it away. And also the remembrance of what he did in those days with the Spirit, because he spoke from Mount Sinai. Remember, back in those days, the men and women didn't have the Holy Ghost dwelling in them, did they?
No, they didn't.
Only the kings, priests, and prophets did. Mm-hmm. Okay, so no wonder they struggled. But think about it. When we come to the Lord, we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, and we also can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost to give us that power and authority and anointing to do the things that he wants. So why is so much of the church failing when we have everything that God's given us? He's given us everything right there. We have it. And we see the early church when they went out in the book of Acts. Go read the book of Acts all the way through carefully. Look at the power and authority and anointing those men and women walked in because Yeshua was in their lives and they yielded to him and not to anything else. Look at Apostle Paul, what happened with him. What an incredible man. He had a whole paradigm mind shift, didn't he, Pastor Don? He changed to think a new way from his Pharisaical thoughts and all that he had in Judaism to come to the Messiah, which he did. Look what he did. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Hallelujah. Because he was changed moment by moment, day by day, just like we're talking about.
So we're coming to this last day, this 50th day.
We're here.
And isn't it celebrated on 2 days?
Not that I know of.
I was thinking it was. It's kind of celebrated on 2 days. But it's interesting that they read the Torah.
Sure do.
On that day.
Yeah.
On that day. And this is the day that the Torah was given.
That's right. They read it.
That's right. They read the Torah. And, you know, I think about the barley. They're going through the hard things and the tough things every day. It's a daily thing. You know, a daily thing. And then it's 1 week goes by. It's up to 7 weeks. It's a daily thing. When they come to that 50th day, and, you know, the daily things happen, I think about the flesh, overcoming the things of the flesh. But then when you get down, you know, to the tender wheat on that 50th day, and that's when they offer those two loaves of wheat.
Yeah.
It's a picture of us moving more into a spiritual understanding, into a knowing of God. And it's more of an inner work. And the wheat is more tender. The Lord just gave me this. The wheat is more tender than the barley. And so it's, you know, God wants us to be tender in our heart, you know, and to be able to overcome all the flesh and all the outward things.
See, the outward can't be taken care of unless the inward part is taken care of first, yeah.
But many times a lot of times you get born again, and a lot of people can relate to this. Some things just automatically just kind of fall away.
Oh, yeah, I had the same thing.
But then there's many things you've got to work on. Work on your attitude, you know, yeah. And to get the mind of Christ to have the character of God. You know, most of us, when we got born again, we didn't have much character of God in us, if any, you know. But God drew us. But now that we've gone through that wilderness time and some of those struggles in our life, like they had to in those 49 days, and they come to finally get to a place where now they're going to hear God.
Yeah.
See, they all heard God. They all heard him.
They
didn't want to hear God.
They didn't want to hear him anymore.
Just talk to Moses, you know, and Moses can talk to us. They wanted it to go by way of somebody else.
A mediator.
Right, but now we can all hear from God. We've got the Holy Ghost. You know,
that's right.
And that's when the Holy Ghost was poured out on that day. Not just got Moses on the top of the mountain and the mountain quaking and the people in fear, but the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, they were in that upper room, men and women.
Mm-hmm.
There could have been as many women as men.
We don't know.
Yeah, look at all the. If you look at the number of people who followed Jesus, it seems to me there were many women who followed him.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
So there were probably a lot of. And of course, look at the ones who went to the tomb after, you know, the resurrection.
What do we have today?
Look in the church.
That's right.
There's more women than there are men.
That's right.
So there may have been as many women as men, who knows, in that upper room. But we know that Mary was there and there were women there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when the power came, and because they waited. See, they were told to wait. They were still in the days of counting the Omer up until that 50th day. And so what happened? That's when the Holy Ghost came and was on each and every one of them. Not just Moses, that's face shone from the top of the mountain and he came down, but on every single person. And they were all baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
They were all filled, weren't they?
They were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Be filled, yes.
To be filled. So that was the outpouring. That was the culmination of what God does from Pentecost to, I mean, from Passover
to Pentecost.
See, there was a work.
Great manifestation, yes.
Great manifestation.
That's right. Wow. So it brought a whole new dispensation, didn't it, in the thought of the world and all mm-hmm. when Christ came. The most important event that ever happened.
So they had to bring the first wheat harvest to the Lord. They always have to bring the first
fruit.
In gathering fruit to the Lord. So that first wheat harvest, they gave it to the Lord, and they made those two loaves of wheat. And what did they do? They waved them.
Before
the Lord is what? As a sacrifice. And what do? When we raise our holy hands, he says, raise holy hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we got to have clean hands. We're not going to raise dirty hands to God. Clean hands and a pure heart. So when we raise our holy hands and we wave them, it's just think, you're waving that wheat harvest.
You're yielding to God.
You're yielding your innermost being to the
Lord.
Whoa, he ta ta ba sha ta ta. You're yielding your wheat. You're wielding your fruit, your first fruits.
That's right.
To the Lord. So you think about that.
It's the very
Bible
best.
Says to raise your hands. You know, I remember when you first got born again, you didn't. People were raising their hands, and you didn't. So I'm not gonna raise my hand. So you raised it. You kind of lifted a little hand with a bent elbow, and when you read this, it says raise up holy hands, and you stretch out your arms. You know, you don't just bend them halfway. You want to give all to God. You raise your arms and you wave them before the Lord. And what are you doing? You're waving the wheat. You're waving your first fruits.
Saw that in Timothy. Paul told Timothy, you know,
glory.
To raise, lift up holy hands before the Lord. When I saw that, I said, all right, Lord, they're going to go all the way.
All the way. But think about that. The first fruits, you're
That's
waving
right.
that.
Yeah.
Because you don't just lift them up. You can wave them. Mm-hmm. Wave your hands and before the Lord, and you're offering up the first fruits, your sacrifice.
And back in Jesus' day, it also tells you over there that they had to sacrifice two lambs without blemish on the day mm-hmm. of Pentecost. They actually held those two lambs up
and
waved them, before
them.
The Lord before they were sacrificed.
Wow.
And had the bloodshed. It's incredible when we think about all the things,
thank
the
you,
patterns
Lord.
We have from the Word of God. So we need all of it, don't we? It's incredible.
So
it's a wonderful time.
We're coming. This Sunday happens to be
the day of Pentecost. And this year it falls on the
Pentecost.
solar Gregorian calendar on the same date that the lunar calendar falls on, which
Sivan
is
in
the Jewish calendar. It's Sivan 6, exact mm-hmm. same day. It's going to be tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You ought to get excited about that.
Thank you,
so
Lord.
I hope ministers around our country will not only talk about the historical aspects
mm-hmm.
about Pentecost, but the thing that's still, and I shouldn't call it a thing, the event, I should say, that happened in Acts chapter 2 is still ongoing. It has not stopped. It has not changed. It's still going on. And even Peter, when he got up and spoke on that particular day, he referred to what Joel said several hundred years before. Okay, and he
wow.
said it was apropos in his day. Well, Peter declared that in his day. So now we can continue to declare that today, that it's apropos for
thank
today.
You, Lord.
Jesus is the same yesterday, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's never going to change. He's there forever. He's never changed. And I love it. And I like what God spoke through Malachi. He says, I am God, and I change not. So we can't take away from what God's given us. So why do we do that? Why do we lay that aside and say, well, God's not doing that anymore? He is doing that. He's doing the same things. If people just yield to what he wants said and done at a particular time, it can happen. And so we thank God for all those times that we've had in the past where people actually received.
So this time of counting the Omer is a very important time.
Sure
it's the days of counting the Omer. It's vital to spend extra time in earnest, heartfelt prayer every day to put your heart into your prayers for spiritual growth and overcoming. You know, there is an enemy out there to overcome.
That's right.
And he's there, and he's always there to bring us down. But we have victory. We are overcomers.
We have to remember that this wheat harvest we're talking about was the early wheat. Then summer
first
comes.
Wheat.
The first wheat. Then summer comes. And when we come to Tabernacles, they have the major harvest. What is it? Grapes, the figs, wheat, everything is brought in. It's showing a picture of everyone coming into the kingdom of God. And so
mm-hmm.
Jesus talked a lot about wheat. He really did. So what was done at Pentecost? The wheat was there.
The wheat. It's the beginning of the wheat harvest, the first wheat.
I was thinking while Donna was talking a moment ago about what Jesus talked about over in Matthew chapter 13, if you want to go over. Let's read
mm-hmm.
a few verses here about the wheat and the tares, okay? And Donna talked about the barley is a much more stable and stronger grain than wheat. And it can take a lot more things, like weather-wise and cold and all that, than the wheat does. But the wheat is very special in God's eyes because it's a picture of you and I. But let's look at this parable that he gave here, starting in verse 24 of Matthew 13. Another parable says, put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now we're going to find out, if we look through all this carefully, the field is a metaphor for the world, okay? Now listen to this. But while men slept, it says the enemy came and sowed what? Tares among the wheat and went his way. So we know that because wheat is not as strong as barley, that tares do come up when the wheat is being grown, especially if it's a dry season sometimes. And so we know tares are what's really called darnel. It looks like wheat growing up, and when it comes to full maturity, then you can tell what it is. It's got these little black seeds all over it, and it just sticks straight up. But we know wheat, when it comes to full maturity, what happens? The grains, they bow over. And so it's really key here. So Jesus talking about the tares here, he's going to picture this as something that came from the enemy. He says, but verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He asked him, how did they get there? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. Who's this? Satan, huh? The demons. Mm. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said to them, this is what Jesus says. He says, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also what? The wheat with them. They have to wait till the very end. So we got tares, don't we? It's a picture of the tares that we have. There's tares in all churches across America. There's people doing things that are wrong. Those are the tares. So God says, just leave it alone and let them grow to the very end.
Praise God, there's a remnant, though.
There's a remnant.
Amongst the tares.
That's right.
There may be many tares, but so you don't want to pull them out.
Because you might pull up some of the wheat at the same time if they get connected with them.
Right, and how can that happen in the church today,
wonder,
Pastor Gene?
That's right, you wonder.
Well, you know, because if we have what come through this time, and we have that word charity that you said, love, because, you know, there's many people coming to church, all kinds of people coming into your church.
You got it.
And so if we don't handle ourselves right and do what's right according to the Word of God, then we can hurt
someone else.
We can hurt the wheat.
That's right. We certainly can.
If we're too abrupt with, or too, we don't treat the tares right, because the tares, we're thinking about people, there's a possibility they could surrender.
Right.
But we don't want to hurt the wheat because we're doing some, you know, we're trying to fix the tares that may be in the church. So there's a special way. You got to have that special kind of love, that special
sure
kind
do.
Of charity,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, even if somebody says they're a Christian, but they don't live, they don't show, because it says we're going to be known by our fruit. If their life doesn't show that they're a Christian, then, you know, I mean, they can change.
That's right.
They can change. So they may act like tares. They may be tares in the church. You know, I'm sure there are tares
sure.
in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to do harm.
Hopefully they'll change somehow.
Right, because we don't want to affect, we don't want to hurt the wheat. Because if
right.
you hurt the tares, then many times, sometimes the wheat can get
sure.
can get hurt.
And we got some tares in the church today. You know, we have this emergent church.
Everywhere.
We have Chrislam in the church, okay. You know, the purpose-driven church and all that. A lot of that mm-hmm. is not of God. Those are like tares. Now look at verse 30 in this chapter. Let both, what? The wheat and the tare grow together until what? The harvest. This is the harvest, is referring to the harvest during tabernacles in the future. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together. And here's the first thing it says here. Gather together first the tares. Those things are causing problems. They're going to be taken out. And bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat, what? Into my barn. Now we go down a little bit further in this chapter. And then verse 36, listen to what happens here. Then Jesus, or Yeshua, sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. They wanted to have it explained. This is the only parable that Jesus spoke that's really explained quite well. Now let's go on. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth a good seed is the Son of Man. Well, who is that? That's Yeshua, our Savior, our Redeemer. 38, the field is the world. We just said that. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. At this time, he's talking to the Jewish people. Got to look at who was the audience that was hearing him speak. These were the Jews, the children of the kingdom. But the tares are what? The children of the wicked one. Now I'm just thinking about another verse here. I think it's in Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to back up. If you're with me and reading your Bible, don't close up. I'm going to go over and look at this real quick here and find this verse I'm just thinking about. In chapter 8, I think that's where it's at, Matthew 8:12. Yeah, listen to this. But the children of the kingdom, he's talking to the Jewish people here, shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth, because there's going to be many who's going to come from the east and the west, and says, and they're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the children of the kingdom, some of them will be cast out because they became what? Like tares. Now let's go on. All right? So they asked for an interpretation of the parable. Now he goes on, 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. It's quite obvious. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels at the end. Okay? As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. See, the tares will be taken out first, and then we that are on earth, the people that will be there and accept Yeshua, what's going to happen? They'll go into the kingdom in their mortal bodies.
You see, those that become that come out of the barley harvest, mm-hmm. You think about barley. It's easy for to get the chaff off.
Sure is.
They just willow it.
That's right.
Just swave it, right? But wheat. The wheat, they have to beat it, crush
right.
it, whatever they have to do.
That's
to
right.
remove the chaff from the wheat requires threshing.
In fact, they have a stone that they roll around mm-hmm. to break up the wheat.
And
it's called a tribulin.
That is severe right. action.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we need the Word of God. So, like you said, the wheat is the...
Crushed. It has to be crushed.
The wheat in the churches are those that are coming in, but they haven't gone through that crushing. They haven't gone through that change
right.
that the barley has gone through. See, mm-hmm. the barley, it's waved, and the outer
chaff
part
blows with the wind.
Blows away.
Yeah.
But with the wheat, you're going to have that mixture you're talking about in the church, and
Amen.
So it takes for that harvest to come. You know, many times there's judgment, even things that have to be taken care of, right? And God's word has to be put in our heart.
That's right.
Maybe there's a crushing. You know, it has to be some kind of a crushing there to cause us to be purified.
That's right. So Jesus here showing all the events that are going to happen at the end of Jacob's trouble here with this harvest that's going to be there. And mm-hmm. So I believe with all my heart, we that are believers, that we'll be in glory for 7 years before all this happens. But mm-hmm. he's talking to his people what's going to happen. And then in verse 41 in chapter 13, he says this, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels. When's this going to be? At the end of Jacob's trouble. And they shall what? Gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. They're going to come out first. He's not talking about a catching away. He's going to take them out. They're going to be destroyed. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That didn't sound very good to me. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Jesus says what? Let him hear. So he's given a parable here. And the proper interpretation to see the whole plan, what God's going to have. There's going to be tares and wheat. I can't say wheats. It's not plural.
Wheat.
Tare and wheat at the end. And so the wheat is what we want to be. We want to be that wheat that God shows us. And so during this time of counting the omer, you know, as they're counting this barley and all that, well, then when Pentecost comes, what do? They go out and get that first fruits of the wheat harvest that has matured at that time. They wave that before the Lord, and what happens? And they say, all right, then the rest of the fields can be harvested. And so it's a picture of what's going to happen at the end. The picture then is what? They go out to the world and bring in the harvest of the people once there's been a first fruits. Well, who's going to be the first fruits? We are.
We are the first fruits.
We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. We've come to him.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be the first fruits. We'll be caught off this earth, or we'll come out of the grave by the way of death if we die, or if we are caught off. We'll be the first fruits unto Jesus Christ, our Lord. Glory, that ought to get you excited. So first fruits is very important, because the three appointed times that God required all the males to be in Jerusalem was at Passover. That was a first fruits harvest, right? At Pentecost, okay, all right? And then they had one what? At Tabernacles. So those are it's all about bringing in what? The wheat. And of course, at Tabernacles, all the good things come in. The grapes mature, the figs mature, you know, and the wheat and all that. And so here he's using these things in the natural realm to teach us something about something in a spiritual realm. That's what it's all about. So remember, this time called Pentecost, the main purpose of it is a reminder and a memorial to the time that God gave the Torah from Mount Sinai, and it's still active today for us. We just have to obey what he says.
Amen.
And you know, Donna was going through this at church last week on Sunday, and in Leviticus chapter 16 and 17 over there about all the things that the Torah tells us to do and not to do.
Well, right.
We have to make a decision. Are we going to do that, or are we going to just say, well, I don't care. It doesn't matter what it says. I'm going to do what I want. Well, that's the choice you have to make, and we've talked about this a lot on this program. You know, you can have the context of the Bible. Like I just read, there's a context here, okay? All right? It's a text with a context. But if we don't do right by the context, what's going to happen? We're going to get a pretext, and we're going to teach something that we could just put anything at all into this thing and make us think we're doing okay or whatever. Well, we can't have that. We got to take the word and use the ABCs, always based on context, and then we get the truth of this. And so Jesus made this parable quite clear what was going to happen in those last days. And so here's another good example of the foreshadows and the patterns that God's showing us with the prophetic word. It's incredible. So when I read these things, I have a prophetic mind. I say, Lord, give me a prophetic mind to see the conclusion of the matter so we might know what's going to happen in those days. And you know, Jesus told his disciples here in the beginning of Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now listen to what he's going to say to them. When anyone heareth, because he already talked about it before this. He says, when anyone heareth the word, this is a logos word, and this is a logos word, and we can get rhema off this, living word off of this. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, who's at the devil, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. So we have to understand the devil wants to snatch everything away from us that we hear. And then we have to have ears to hear, discerning when we hear ministers preach and teach. Is it truly the word of God, or is it something else? We have to have that discernment. It's so important to understand. I remember years ago when we were teaching kids at the YMCA. We had a youth group over there for quite a few years. And we used to put some scriptures or words that they didn't understand, we put them on the board, and we'd ask them what they thought these words meant. And so we made it clear to them. Now we tell them right when we start. So we tell them, tell them this. Now remember, what we're going to teach you here tonight is the word of God, and you can interject with us. You can listen. You can have ears to hear. Try to answer some of the questions when we put these words on the board. But remember this: when you leave here tonight, as soon as you get out in the car to go home, the devil wants to come and steal and snatch every word that was spoken to you tonight out of the Bible before you get home. He wants you to forget about it. You can't remember what was talked about. That's exactly what he does. That's the wicked one that we just have right here. If you don't understand it, the wicked one's going to come and what? And steal it away. And we got a lot of confusion in the body of Christ today about the end times especially and the events. And so we need to be in tune with the word of God for literally what it says. We can't do it allegorically where we say, well, this scripture says this, but God really meant something else. No, we got to take it exactly for what it says. And we got to remember that. So the word of God is so powerful. And so I think about Pentecost, you know, the Jewish people that came out of Egypt, they had a hard time. They didn't want to hear God anymore. You know, he spoke from Mount Sinai. They all heard him, and they didn't want to hear him anymore. But as Donna said a little while ago, remember, if you're born again, the Spirit of God dwells in you. You can hear from God. You just have to learn how to hear from God. Begin to press in with him. Read the Bible. Look what it says about you, okay? And it's not some outward thing we're looking about all the time and thinking about. It's like Donna said, it's an inner change that slowly comes inside. Your
the
heart,
tenderness.
It's a tenderness that comes. Your heart is changed. It's what Romans 12 said over that we talked about with Paul, you know, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, okay? Well, the mind has to be renewed, but how does the mind get renewed? It's from the Word of God, and the Word of God what penetrates our heart, and then our mind can kick in. And we mentioned Matthew chapter 5 through 7, where Jesus talked about the parables that we should be, okay? They were all topics about the change in the heart. He says, you heard it said this. He says, I'm going to tell you what it really means, the fulfillment of it. This is what it means. And so he told them what it meant. And what was those things? They were all things that proceeded out of the heart. Amen? And Jesus made that clear. He says, you know, warring and lying and prostitution and adultery and fornication, all those things, they all come out of what? Out of somebody's heart. Because their heart's in the wrong place. But Jesus came to change our hearts. And as we get our heart changed, guess what? We're going to draw closer to him, and we're going to want to please him in every single thing that we do. Right, Pastor Donna?
Amen. You know, at Pentecost, each one of the feasts has special thing that they eat, right? And at Pentecost, it's the milk the cheese.
That's right.
The blitzes.
The good things.
The things that people like, yeah. You know, the desserts. Yeah. I know somebody who likes the blitzes.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the milk products.
A lot of milk products.
With milk products.
The milk of the word, Hallie.
That's right. The milk of the word, you know.
That's right.
So it's, and then you've got the bread, the bread and the things that you just, people just love to eat. You know, how about cheese filled with pancakes? Pancakes and cheese.
Oh, yeah. Blitzes,
And you love pancakes. Yeah. You love pancakes. So it's all these dairy foods. And, you know, the Bible talks about the milk of the word. And if we can't get the milk, we're never going to get to the meat.
That's right.
So the milk has got to be those things, those inner things that God's changing. You know,
babies get the milk before the meat, don't they?
And what does the baby do when he gets the milk? It has to come to the breast. And we have to come to the Father.
That's
right.
We have to come
to the breast of the Father and receive. What do we receive? Not only the nourishment of the food, but we receive love. See, that at the breast of the baby, at the mother's breast, is receiving that nourishment. Not,
hallelujah.
It's not just people think, oh, they're just getting the best milk that they can get. No, they're getting so much more than just the best milk that they can get, which is the best milk. I breastfed our children. But they're getting that, the love,
that's
which
right.
is the picture
the bonding.
Of the love of the Father. And that's good, the bonding.
With the
so
Father.
So if we don't have the milk.
That's right.
You know, people always talk about get off the milk of the word. But you got to have the milk before you got to have the milk before you can be able to eat heavier things, stronger things. Or you know what? You're going to get an upset stomach. You're going to get sick. If you're preached at all the time and you haven't received the milk of the word, you don't know the love of the Father, then you're going to get sick
That's
in
right.
your stomach. So the milk is so important.
It's not pablum. He wants to give you the real milk, doesn't he?
And so this is the thing, you know, what else is made of milk? Butter. Oh, wow. Okay, well, Pastor Gene, he's giving me the time. So I see we're running out of time. This hour
we got about a minute and a half to go.
So come. We have a guest speaker this Sunday, healing evangelist, and a prophetic. His wife is very prophetic in the prophetic. Amen. And intercession. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're just blessed to be here on this program called Raising the Standard every Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. You can also go back and listen to this again on your internet. You just go to WCNO.com and you can listen to this and many other of our teachings on Saturdays at 12 noon. So just look for Pastor Gene Hilton and you'll see Raising the Standard. And so I just wanted to mention that in case you want to. And I'm going to give our phone number in case you want to come to one of our services. We have services on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and this Saturday we'll be showing a wonderful video from Jonathan Kahn called
The Sanhedrin Secret.
Sanhedrin Secret. So you want to come with that, and we also have closing of the Sabbath on Saturday with a little dinner and saying the prayers, the closing prayers for the holy day. It's a holy day. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So we don't want the pablum of the word. We want the true milk, don't we?
We'll
grow and be strong in the Lord.
We don't want the false stuff.
That's right.
We don't want soy.
No counterfeit.
We want the real
That's
thing.
Right.
Amen.
So as we close this program every week, we tell you to look up because your redemption draws nigh. And what do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.